The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
As if inflation is not bad enough, the Biden administration is trying to push through another $2 trillion in spending. Wow. My latest thoughts on the Rittenhouse case. And I'm going to talk about Project Veritas and how the FBI's raid shows the way in which the deep state collaborates with the media. Fairfax County mom Stacey Langton joins me. She's been fighting against perversion and indoctrination in the schools to talk about the parents' effort to go after some of these teachers and school boards. And Debbie and I are going to talk about the DA in San Francisco, Chesa Boudin, a radical socialist, and an effort underway to recall him. This is the Dinesh D'Souza podcast.
Needs this voice. The times are crazy. In a time of confusion, division, and lies, we need a brave voice of reason, understanding, and truth. This is the Dinesh D'Souza podcast.
Inflation has now crossed, it was in the fives, but it's now over 6%, and it seems to be marching higher. And this, as you know, is diluting the value of not just our paychecks, but it's diluting the value of our savings. It's making money worth less because you can buy less with it. You would think that the Biden administration, in the face of this, would be adopting some anti-inflationary measures to try to tame inflation, to try to restrict it. And the anti-inflationary measures are obvious. They've been tried before. Everyone knows what needs to be done. Basically, what needs to be done is two things. One, for the government to spend less money. And two, for the Federal Reserve to hold back, to choke off a little bit the money supply, because that is going to have a, you may say, it's like pulling on the economic reins. It's going to make the horse slow down. And this is what Reagan tried in the early 80s with Paul Volcker. It brought inflation under control. So economic wisdom is clear. This is how you do it. But what is remarkable to me is the fact that the Biden administration is doing the exact opposite. And that is that even in the face of inflation, they want to push through with another almost $2 trillion spending bill. This is the second infrastructure bill. Let's remember the first one already passed. Biden just signed it. So that's going into effect, and they want to do the next one. Now, they could say that there are other factors that make this the most important thing to do, and we realize that this is going to have a further inflationary effect, but they're not saying that. They're saying the opposite. They're saying this bill is necessary to reduce inflation. Now, this is economic double talk. This is complete gobbledygook. This is knowing prevarication from the administration. So here, for example, is Brian Deese, the director of the National Economic Council. He goes, inflation is high right now. It's affecting consumers and their pocketbook and their outlook for the economy. And then he goes, this, meaning this bill, more than anything, will go at the cost that Americans face. So he's implying that spending more money and printing more money will bring costs down. Now, there is no economic logic behind this at all. I call it the argumentum ad ignorantium, because it is an argument that relies on the ignorance of the listener. If you don't know anything about economics, you're like, oh, wow, this is interesting. We need to pass this because it's going to bring costs down. No, it isn't. Joe Manchin, by the way, knows it. And he goes, listen, essentially, he said, and he says this in softer tones, but he's not going to vote for this bill as long as inflation is galloping at this pace. He wants, in his own words, to wait. So Nancy Pelosi is pushing this through. In fact, they're confident that with Pelosi, who's whatever she is, I mean, she may be Vodka Nancy and all that, but she's a pretty good vote counter. And so she's going to try to get this through the House, a $1.85 trillion domestic policy package, full of basically political giveaways for the left. This is part of why they want to do it, to consolidate their power. And I predict it will pass the House just because I have a kind of a distant admiration for Nancy's ability to count votes. But I think it will run into a wall into the Senate. And that's a good thing. It's not just Manchin, but Sinema who are putting up obstacles. And so I am hopeful. I won't predict that it won't pass the Senate, but I'm hopeful that it won't pass because, after all, far from being a recipe to reduce inflation, it's essentially a policy and a level of spending that will only galvanize it. All of you know out there that MyPillow doesn't have their box stores or their shopping channels. And why? They've been canceled. And Mike Lindell's been canceled mainly because of his connection with Trump. So if you're connected, you like Trump, they don't like you. They'd love to cancel you. So we've got to teach them a lesson. And, well, what's a better time to do it than now? It's Christmas time, time to gather together some presents. And Mike Lindell wants to pass the savings that would otherwise be sort of absorbed by these shopping channels or the box stores, straight to you. You can get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard MyPillow, normally $69.98, but now $19.98 with promo code Dinesh. These wonderful pillows won't go flat. You can wash and dry them as often as you want. They maintain their shape. They're made in the USA. By the way, the queen size pillows, regularly $79.98, now $24.98. The king size, normally $89.98, now $29.98. So these are great deals. And by the way, the deals aren't just on the pillows. My pillow is offering discounts on all their products. They have over 150 of these products, from sleepwear to my new beds. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-876-0227. Use promo code Dinesh to take advantage of Mike's special offers, not just on the pillows, but on all the other products. That number again, 800-876-0227, or go to MyPillow.com. Make sure to use promo code D-I-N-E-S-H, Dinesh. I was on Fox News last night talking about Rittenhouse, and I want to elaborate a point I just touched on there. The broad network of lies that has been put out about this case from the beginning and repeated mind-numbingly for a year by the media. Now, these lies have run, they've collided with reality. Why? Not only the testimony in the trial, but I think most tellingly, the video in the trial. So let me enumerate some of these lies. Kyle Rittenhouse was a white supremacist. That's media lie number one. He had no family in Kenosha. Media lie number two. He had an illegal gun. Media lie number three. Rittenhouse chased the rioters. Media lie number four. The rioters did not attack him, lie number five. His victims were black, lie number six. So one on top of the other, and you can expect that they're going to keep doing it. If Rittenhouse is exonerated, if he's acquitted, white supremacy produced the result. Now, I find it so bizarre that people are calling Rittenhouse a white supremacist. Yesterday, I heard Binger, the prosecutor, say, you know, that Joseph Rosenbaum, the Antifa guy, repeatedly used the N-word. And Binger minimized it. He was like, well, big deal, he used the N-word. So how is it that Rosenbaum uses the N-word and Rittenhouse is called a white supremacist? Isn't it the fact that if you look at what happened, you could say that Rittenhouse, the anti-racist, is the guy who killed the white supremacist, Rosenbaum? So the left should be celebrating Rittenhouse. He's a hero. He's an anti-racist hero. Well, now, the other thing that really amused me from yesterday, really got me chuckling, was the fat guy. I don't remember his name, the prosecutor, the other guy, you know, the fellow who's like, you know, we've got to get used to getting beaten up. He's like, yeah, you know, you go into a restaurant, you go into a bar, you get into a fight, you know, he's implying that this is part of growing up. This is part of the American experience. I'm thinking to myself, and I can only imagine the jury looking at him with their mouths open, as I was, which is, why would someone even say that? Now, I'm sort of a student of academic studies that attempt to explain sort of normal but odd behavior. I once read a paper years ago about why very old people are really long-winded. And this was written by an economist, and it was very interesting because he basically said it has to do with the value of time. He was giving it an economic explanation. He says old people have a lot of time on their hands, so time to them is cheap. So they don't mind spending time because it's cheap for them. And that's why they're long-winded. They've got a lot of time. They can talk and talk and talk. They've got nothing else to do. Now, I'm applying this framework. I think someone should do an academic paper on why people who are obese or fat are kind of cheerful. I mean, we've all noticed that, you know, people who are a little rotund tend to be pretty good-natured. And my hypothesis is that this is because they, from a pretty early age, depending on when they became fat, they realize that they can't fight and they can't run. So if you can't fight and you can't run, you've got to be good-natured. So I'm thinking that this is Binger. Binger is a guy who, when he was probably young, he was probably the fat boy in school. Probably people picked on him. Probably even though he was good-natured, or maybe he wasn't good-natured, people, kind of, he got beaten up a few times. And so he has come to believe on the basis of his own experience that getting beaten up is kind of a normal ritual of American life. What's the big deal? Do I have to bring an AR-15 just because some guy, you know, beat me up? So I think we're dealing with a weirdo prosecutor, not a normal description of self-defense or a normal description of American life. Now, Debbie and I were talking this morning, and Debbie's a little worried about this verdict. And we're making this podcast in the morning before a verdict has come out. And Debbie's a little worried that the jury might feel intimidated. Why? Because look what happened in the Derek Chauvin trial. There's no question that in that case, there was at least a certain level of jury intimidation. Not to say that we don't think that Chauvin was guilty, but we think he was probably guilty more of negligent manslaughter rather than second degree murder. Where's the second degree element of it? Now, I'm more hopeful that the jury will make the right decision. I think the evidence is not, this is not a close call. It's overwhelmingly on one side. In fact, if it was me, if I was the foreman, I would teach the prosecution, the media, and the American left a lesson. I would just go into the deliberation room, take a vote, and come out and acquit Kyle Rittenhouse in like inside of 10 minutes. It would be like done. That would reverberate right through American culture. Here's an interesting observation on social media by a guy named Martyr made. He goes, I highly doubt a Rittenhouse not guilty verdict will result in riots. He goes, BLM is Antifa's shield against the police. And he goes, his point is that in this case, you've got a white guy and you've got three white victims or non-victims. But the point is the fact that they're all white means that BLM has sort of no dog in this hunt. BLM is not directly involved here. So BLM is going to kind of step back. And because the racial element has been kind of dissipated, exploded in the trial, this is something that the left tried to push early on. In fact, some people had the wrong impression that the victims were in fact black, which they're not. For me, the take-home lesson of the Rittenhouse trial, and this comes from a wider observation of American life, is that if you or I are called for jury duty, we've just got to remember that we can't trust the government anymore. We've seen that time after time, not just in the Russia collusion, not just in the January 6th prosecutions, but now right here in small Kenosha with lying detectives and a lying prosecutor, you've got lies that have now crept into our judicial process. And as jurors, we've got to just keep that in mind and bring to our jury duty an appropriate level of skepticism and distrust. It's time for holiday cleaning, but before you replace your carpets due to pet stains and odors, you got to try Genesis 950. The reviews are fantastic. This is one product that works. Now, with water, it breaks down the bonds of stains and odors so they are gone for good. Its antibacterial component removes pet odors from carpet and padding. It can be used in a carpet cleaning machine, and it's green, so it's safe for your family and pets. Genesis 950 is made in America. 1 gallon of industrial-strength Genesis 950 makes up to 7 gallons of cleaner. But Genesis 950 is also good for bathrooms, floors, upholstery, grease stains. Debbie uses it to clean everything. She doesn't like to clean that much. But when she sees how great Genesis 950 is, she doesn't mind so much when I get chocolate or ink or other kinds of stuff on the Furniture. Now, this is the perfect holiday gift for pet owners. Genesis 950 has great customer service, always willing to help. Go ahead, order 1 gallon direct at genesis950.com. You get a free spray bottle, free shipping, and a $10 coupon using the code Dinesh. That's genesis950.com. Coupon only available for 1 gallon purchase. Genesis 950. It's much cheaper than replacing your carpets or your furniture. There's a very interesting angle I want to focus on regarding the FBI raid on Project Veritas. Now, by way of background, the supposed justification for this raid carried out by the FBI in conjunction with the SDNY, the Southern District of New York. This is the same outfit that prosecuted me, that's been going after Trump. It was supposedly over a diary that Joe Biden's daughter, Ashley Biden, was missing around the time of the 2020 election. Now, Project Veritas was apparently informed about where the diary was, but they didn't use the diary. They didn't publish anything from the diary. But here comes the FBI raiding the offices of Project Veritas, but also raiding James O'Keefe's home. You know, the typical bring in the force. They would have kicked in the door had O'Keefe not opened the door. And they grabbed his devices, his cell phones. And obviously, this is something that they wanted to go through. Supposedly, this is the pretext to find out about this Ashley Biden diary. Now, this is so disturbing that even the ACLU, which doesn't like Project Veritas, in fact, they say Project Veritas has engaged in disgraceful deceptions. And yet, says the ACLU, quote, the precedent set in this case could have serious consequences for press freedom. So you might expect the press to be against this, to realize, wait a minute, if they raid Project Veritas, they could be raiding next to New York Times. But here's the point. The New York Times knows that Project Veritas is on the right and they are on the left. So the FBI, at least not in the Biden administration, is not going to come knocking on their door. So they've actually been working with the FBI on this. They are part of the hit. This is what I want to talk about. This is, I'm going to call it the Goebbels model, because one of the interesting things about Goebbels as the kind of propaganda minister of Nazi Germany is that he didn't nationalize the German media. He just put the German media, he made the German media, you can say, an extension of the deep state. And that's what's going on here. So 1 hour after the FBI made its raid, the New York Times was calling Project Veritas correspondents to ask them to comment on it. Think about it. That means they were tipped off. We're about to raid Project Veritas. You guys get on the story. Or they knew about it in advance. So you have the FBI. This is Christopher Wray's FBI working in cahoots. And this is, by the way, totally inappropriate for a police agency of government to be doing this. Now, after the raid, it turns out that the FBI has informed or turned over to the New York Times internal documents of Project Veritas. And how do we know this? Because the New York Times has a story about it. Quote, internal documents obtained by the New York Times. Obtained how? Obviously released by the FBI. So the FBI is using the New York Times. The New York Times is using the FBI. They're kind of in it together. And they say that these documents, quote, gauge how far its deceptive reporting practices can go before running afoul of federal laws. They detail ways for Project Veritas sting operations. So the Times is using the article to try to make Project Veritas look sleazy. The truth of it is actually when you look at what they quote from the documents, it actually appears like Project Veritas is being very careful. Why? Because they know that they are under scrutiny. They know that they're likely to be raided by people like the FBI. And here's the proof. The FBI has, in fact, raided them. Their fears were completely justified. Now, let's remember that this is a pattern. When the FBI was about to raid Roger Stone, remember that CNN was already on the scene. In fact, CNN was kind of camped out before the FBI even showed up, which means that the FBI tipped off CNN. This is a humiliation ritual we're going to put Roger Stone through, and you can be there to sort of revel in it, and CNN certainly was. So the lesson of all this is there's growing evidence now that our deep state works with these kind of prestige media organizations to target political opponents. It's a very disturbing fascist trend that is very obvious in America. And if you want to talk about anti-fascism, we are the true anti-fascists. Republicans need to sort of recognize that to bust fascism, we need to take careful note of what is going on. All these people who are part of this need to be prosecuted. We need to unleash the RICO statutes against them. We need to put handcuffs on them. We need to lock them up. And all of this needs to be part of the Republic. We need to tell the American people in advance that we're going to do this. This should be part of our platform in 22, part of our platform in 22. There's a gangsterization that's gone on at the highest levels of government. Now, Republicans don't even talk like this right now, but they need to. And I'm sure it's going to be a few that will go out front and start talking like this, and then the rest will follow. That's kind of how it is with the Republican Party. It's a party of slackers. They'll have to be dragged, kicking and screaming ultimately to this kind of a more activist Republican Party. But it has to happen. Why? Because if we don't hold these guys accountable, they will make a habit of this. This will become routinized in American life with very disturbing and long-term consequences. Pretty monumental news. Inflation is now over 6%. I've been talking about it today itself. And the government is going to kick up Social Security benefits to 5.9% in January. That's the highest increase, by the way, in 40 years. So what does this mean? Basically, it's the Biden administration saying, hey, yeah, inflation's out of control. And yet the Biden guys are trying to push Build Back Better, trillions more in spending. This is crazy. Well, what are you doing to protect your savings from inflation? I protect mine with gold and silver from Birch Gold Group. And Birch Gold can help you convert an eligible 401k or an IRA into an IRA backed by precious metals. Now, here's an added incentive to do that and do it now. When you text Dinesh to 484848 and purchase precious metals with Birch Gold by December 23rd, you'll get free silver for every $5,000 you invest. Birch Gold has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of happy customers. So go ahead, text Dinesh to 484848. Get free silver for every $5,000 you invest. Offer ends December 23rd. Once again, text Dinesh to 484848 and protect your savings today. Hey guys, I've been talking on the podcast about about parents who have been rising up because they've been discovering, perhaps under the era of COVID, what their kids are really learning in the classroom or not learning, and what they're reading, what the kind of books that you find in the school library. Now, Stacy Langton is a mother of six from Fairfax County, Virginia. This is one of the sort of node centers, I would say, of the parents movement. She's not so much of a school board activist. She's a mom. And she's a mom who's discovered some disturbing things that are happening in her children's school. Stacy, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining me. Let me begin by just talking about how you got involved at all. In other words, there seems to be this kind of parental awareness or consciousness about what's been going on in schools and probably going on for some time. Talk a little bit about how you first got an inkling that something was wrong with the way your kids were being educated.
Well, I was literally standing in my kitchen at dinner time, at the kitchen island cooking dinner. And there was a story on Sean Spicer's program on Newsmax that covered the school board meeting in Hudson, Ohio. And that was the very dramatic one where apparently it was a literature class for, I think, seniors or juniors. And it was, pornographic writing assignments. And the mayor came in the clip that they showed to the school board meeting. And the mayor was very dramatic. And he said, I've reviewed this material with a judge, and this is absolutely pornography. And all of you have a choice. You can either resign or face criminal charges. And then he stormed out. And I thought, what the heck is that? What, what's going on? Like, that's crazy. And, you don't think that these things are going on necessarily in your backyard or in your school. So I didn't think much of it other than, wow, that's really weird. Until 2 days later, I saw a second story, and that was about the mom in Leander, Texas, who went to her school board meeting. And she actually read aloud from some of the books and showed images and, different things like that. And that's when I started to think, okay, there's something going on here, and maybe I need to look in my own backyard. And so I asked my son to bring me his school-issued laptop to look up some of those titles. And yeah, they were in the library.
So then you marched down to the library and checked out these books. And I think what's remarkable is, I mean, were you shocked at what you read? And then second of all, when did you make the decision, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to read from these books? I mean, what a brilliant tactical move by you to kind of put them on the spot and say, you know, in front of the public, this is what you guys are you're releasing to our kids. Talk about what you found in the books and when you made the decision, I'm going to step out and I'm going to kind of take the lead on this.
Yeah, so it's something where you can't really remain silent about it, right? Because when you see it in person, it's actually worse than I would have imagined. It's so X-rated. It's so explicit, both the words and the pictures, that, you know, this is not debatable. There's no way you can justify it. It's absolutely X-rated. And so at that moment, I had a choice. You know, do I say nothing? And then all of the kids are sort of having access to this, which is clearly bad. It's not good for anybody's child. Or do I do something brave and, like you said, step out and go speak up about it? And so I just, you know, it was a matter of conscience for me. I had to go speak up. I'm not just defending my child's innocence. I'm defending, by extension, everybody's children's innocence. And so I called the school board and, you know, said, hi, what's the procedure to sign up for a meeting? And I did that. And it's a lottery system. And I was selected on the wait list. So there was no guarantee that night on September 23rd that I was going to speak, but they had a lot of no-shows. And so they went into the wait list and I was selected to speak.
Now, you're talking about books like Gender Queer, another book called Lawn Boy, which have, you know, they have oral sex, masturbation, graphic descriptions of sex between men and children. So I guess what you're saying is we're not talking here about sex ed. They're not giving you like this is the human anatomy. You're talking about essentially, you know, perversion that is being indoctrinated into kids to serve a certain ideological agenda. Now, did you realize when you stepped forward that you were going to be walking into a little bit of a firestorm? Because even though these things are so indefensible, there are powerful people who defend them.
No, I had no idea that this decision I made to go to the school board was going to result in all of the things that have come since. And trust me, when I went to the school board meeting, what happened that night is that's not how it went in my head. You know what I mean? Like, it all went sideways really quickly and the wheels came off the cart. And, you know, I didn't even get to finish speaking because the only way to get this message across is to do what I did, which is to read the materials aloud and to show the images, because it's so graphic. You really must see it and hear it in order to sort of understand the gravity of what we're talking about. And when I did that, the school board cut the mic and cut the camera feed and, you know, they fled the room. Like, I didn't even get to finish my presentation. I'm only given 2 minutes. They cut me off at 90 seconds and that was the end of that. So that's not what I was expecting as a reaction. I think I thought maybe they might say, oh my goodness, thank you for bringing this to our attention and we've got to do something about this. And that's not what happened.
Well, let's take a pause. When we come back, I want to go into this, you know, drama at the school board and some of the aftermath about it. This is, by the way, not just a Virginia issue. It has national reverberations. We'll be right back with Stacey Langton. Aches and pains, you know, come to us all eventually, whether from the normal wear and tear of time or from injury. But now there's a 100% drug-free solution. It's called Relief Factor. Relief Factor supports your body's fight against inflammation. That's the source of aches and pains. The vast majority of people who try Relief Factor order more. Why? Because it works for them. Want proof? Well, I've got proof right here. You've been suffering, Debbie, from frozen shoulder for a couple of years now. Well,
I couldn't do this. I couldn't do this. So let me just tell you a little bit about what happened. So a while ago, you know, I tried Relief Factor. It was amazing. I could lift my arm. It no longer hurt. And then you know what happened? I stopped taking it, got busy, didn't order more, and the pain came right back. So I've been on it and the pain is gone. As you can see, I can lift my arm again. It's amazing. It's great.
Look, it can work for you just the same way it's working for Debbie to get out of pain. Who wants pain? Order the 3-week quick start. It's a great deal. Discounted price, $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 833-690-7246. That number again, 833-690-7246, or go to relieffactor.com. Feel the difference. I'm back with Fairfax County mom of six, Stacey Langton. We're talking about the perversion and racial indoctrination that's going on, not just in Virginia, but in school systems around the country. Stacey, you know, at the beginning, they tried to say that these books are not being made available to young kids. They are merely for high school students. But I think when people have looked into it, it's very clear that these are books that are available even to middle school kids. And so they are simply just lying. Instead of, as you say, admitting, you know what, this is bad, we're going to stop it, they're acting as if you're crazy and the parents like you are crazy.
Yeah, and it's actually ironic because Spotsylvania County had their school board meeting last Monday night, and they took those parents took two different titles, which are also pornographic, to their school board meeting, and they got an instantaneous reaction. They got instantaneous accountability. The board voted on the spot 6-0 to remove those particular titles, and they ordered an audit of all of their library holdings. So accountability is possible. Like, it's a thing. They could do it. If Fairfax County Public Schools wanted to do the right thing, I don't know what's stopping them. So it's clear that they have an agenda. They're not looking to remove these books permanently. I still don't have the accountability. I have no answers as to how this happened. How were they placed there? But it is also a national problem. It's not just happening in Spotsylvania County. It's not just happening in Fairfax County. These books exist in, you know, probably just about every school district. And as you said, down to middle schoolers, which means kids as young as 12.
I mean, I was kind of laughing because this one guy, Carl Fritsch, who I guess is one of the members of the school board, he saw some parents who were praying, I guess, praying that this kind of perversion not be inflicted on their children. And this guy claims that he was witnessing exorcisms, as if to say that this was an attempt to exorcise demons. I mean, this is what weirdos these people are, right? I mean, what I find fascinating is how they make their way onto the school board. Is it because normal people are just haven't been asleep at the wheel? As you say, you're busy with cooking, you're busy with daily life. And meanwhile, the guys who have a lot of time on their hands and have an agenda to push, they're the guys who go run for school board.
Yeah. So I think this woken up a lot of parents across the country. And maybe now you're going to start to see people like us, who are more conservative, run for school board positions and rectify that, which needs to happen. But I'm very personally offended by what Carl Frisch did that night, because I didn't know it at the time while it was happening. I wasn't on Twitter yet, but he actually live tweeted during the meeting, I think even during my presentation, that sort of nasty comment about, oh, it isn't every day that we have two exorcisms happen during a school board meeting. And that was because there was a group of little old ladies, like literally ladies in their 70s, who prayed the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. And I didn't know those women. I didn't come there with them. I still, to this day, I don't even know who they are. But that's very disrespectful on his part, because then, you know, what is he doing? He's attacking Christians. He's attacking these little old ladies who showed up and decided to pray. I mean, that's ridiculous. And that's not the behavior that you would expect from a school board member.
Stacey, as you know, the Attorney General Merrick Garland has this task force in which he's supposedly looking at parents who are posing a threat either to teachers or to school board members. You noted a very disturbing thing that happened in Fairfax County at a local school board meeting. You tweeted out that, you know, you spotted some federal vehicles, a helicopter flying overhead. And in other words, do you think that some kind of a crackdown is underway in which these federal officials are now trying to intimidate parents into cowering back and not showing up, not speaking out the way you did? Because this would be a very disturbing escalation by the Biden administration.
Well, obviously, what Merrick Garland said in his memo has the effect of putting that chill on parents' participation. I think nobody wants to worry about the FBI coming to knock on your door if you go and exercise your First Amendment rights at a school board meeting. It is scary. It's nerve-wracking to speak in public in general without worrying about the feds coming after you. But yeah, we had that happen. That is a thing. It really happened. We had several ghost cars in the parking lot, which, you know, that's from different law enforcement agencies. Some may have been Fairfax County, some may have been FBI. But we also had a marked DHS vehicle, which came and, you know, parked right in front of the protest. And yeah, we had a helicopter circling overhead and it was shining the spotlight down on us. And we thought it was funny. We kind of laughed and waved and we were chanting back the blue, you know, but this happened on October 21st. And we had been at the DOJ on Sunday, the 17th, having a parents' protest at 3 p.m. that afternoon. So it's a little coincidental that the day we're all standing out in front of the DOJ building downtown meeting, I don't think it was a coincidence, but who knows, maybe somebody reported us to that, right? It said in his memo, call 1-800-FBI. If you see something, say something, like as if we're all going to show up and, you know, oh, because, well, he said we're domestic terrorists, or maybe it was the NSBA who said we're domestic terrorists. So, you know, I don't know what it is they think we're going to do, because it's a bunch of moms standing around with signs written in marker.
Stacey, I mean, this is a fantastic display of courage on your part. And I think an inspiration, I hope, to parents around the country. There are lots of things that you can do to push back political activism, speaking out at the school board, getting your voices heard, running for school board. So, Stacey, thanks so much for joining me to you know, give an account of what you experienced. And more power to you.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor. And I just wanted to say to the parents out there, never doubt that your local action can have a national impact, because that's what happened. And I never thought for a moment when I went to my school board meeting that it was going to have anything to do with the election here in the state of Virginia, but it did. And that's a wonderful thing. And that victory is going to reverberate nationwide in 2022.
Absolutely. This is awesome. Thanks so much, Stacey Langton. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Are you holding on to boxes of old home movies that you'd like to share with friends and family? More important, can you even watch that priceless footage? Send your memories to Legacy Box. They will help you preserve them for generations. Debbie and I have had a great experience with Legacy Box. We've digitized our old photos and cassette and video recordings. Debbie actually cried when she saw my stepson Justin's beating heart in an ultrasound. He's now 26. These are the kinds of priceless experiences that Legacy Box helps us preserve. We're about to send them another box full of our old photos. Now, use their kit to safely send the moments you want preserved. Their team will create a digital archive by hand right here in the USA. Then you'll receive your new copy stored on the cloud, a thumb drive or DVD, along with all the original media you sent them. With their tracking system, you can follow every step of the process so you always know your originals are being well taken care of. Visit legacybox.com/Dinesh to take advantage of this limited time offer for 40% off. In fact, you can take advantage of the offer now and then use the kit whenever you're ready. That's legacybox.com/Dinesh to save 40% off. legacybox.com/Dinesh. I've been talking for several days now about the Russia collusion hoax, a hoax that involves Democratic operatives. It involves the FBI. It involves the Clinton campaign. But does it involve Barack Obama? Now, there's a very good article in the American Spectator on Obama's likely role. And that's something that people haven't focused on. Let's remember, Obama is the most politically protected man in America. He's even more protected than Hillary Clinton, and she's pretty well fortified by the deep state and by the media. And the article begins with a couple of things that it's easy to forget. We think about this trail as going from the dossier to Christopher Steele. Christopher Steele got it from Danchenko. Danchenko got it from the Democratic operative. And this was put out initially by the Clinton campaign. And it looks like that's all it's about. No, there's a part of this operation that was run from the White House and with the knowledge of the White House. Remember that little giveaway text that Peter Strzok came out in the communications between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page? POTUS wants to know everything. Well, POTUS wasn't Hillary Clinton. POTUS was Barack Obama. And let's remember also the email that Susan Rice sent to herself This was, by the way, on January 5th, 2017. And she was describing what Obama said. And in a sense, think of it, who sends an email to themselves to remind themselves of what Obama said? She wanted to create a false record in order to say, listen, Obama was in the clear on this. If this ever comes out, Obama didn't do it. In fact, Obama specifically said this, and I was witness to it. So obviously, Susan Rice is part of it. There are so many people who are part of this. The Brookings Institution, a lot of its so-called experts, Fiona Hill, who basically was one of the people who testified at the Trump impeachment. She's the one who introduced Danchenko to the Democratic operative who was feeding him the false information. But Obama's role here is something that needs to be focused on. And we know that from John Brennan, by the way, the former CIA director, that Brennan walked into the White House and told Obama in a meeting with others that the Russians were spying, that the Russians were basically in cahoots with the Trump campaign and that the FBI was investigating. So Brennan, we know, said this. Obama, we know, knew that. But what we don't know is, was Obama part of the initiator team of these lies? Was Obama aware that, was he not just informed about what was happening, but was he part of the plot itself? Did he know that the Clinton campaign was doing this? He was actually okay with it. Debbie goes, what do you think, Dinesh? let's put $100 on this right now. I think we actually know the answer to these questions, but I'm just following the knowledge trail. Notice how cunning Obama is, by the way. After these meetings in which Obama knows this, Obama puts on a public pretense that he's going to be scolding Putin and telling him, hey, you know, cut out your interference in the U.S. election. So here we have Obama at a press conference. He goes, I felt the most effective way to ensure that Russian hacking didn't happen was, quote, to talk to him directly and tell him to cut it out. Of course, the media goes bananas. Oh, here's Obama, you know, little Obama, you know, little baseball, you know. He's going to be telling Putin, by the way, who's like a muscular. He's going to be telling Putin. I'd like to be part of that conversation where Obama's like, please cut it out. What do you think Putin's going to be like? Boom, you know, one over the head, and Obama will be like whimpering for mercy. So I don't really see that scene playing out. But of course, for the media, this was like the kind of thing they love. Obama's going to be flexing his muscles and telling Putin, you know, what's what. Look, Durham needs to do his job. That's where I come out on this. He needs to recognize this is not enough to go after, you know, a couple of peons for making false statements. He's got the information. Let's open it up, Durham. Go after Strzok. Go after McCabe. Go after Comey. Go after Bob Mueller. Go after Hillary Clinton. And yes, go after Barack Obama. Christmas is right around the corner. You know what that means. Why not be an early shopper this year? Here's an easy present that no one's going to say no to. Everyone needs towels, but you got to get the right towels. Normal towels just don't seem to dry you anymore. They feel soft and lotiony in the store, but you take them home and they don't absorb. Why not? Because towel companies typically import the product and they add softeners that make the towels feel good, but they don't dry you very well. Now, Mike Lindell has solved this problem. This is why Debbie and I have MyPillow towels all over our house. He's created the best towel company right here in the USA. MyPillow has proprietary technology to create towels that don't just feel soft, but actually absorb and leave you feeling fresh and dry. MyPillow towels come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. And for a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering a really good deal on the 6-piece towel set. Now, that includes 2 bath towels, 2 hand towels, and 2 washcloths. All made with USA cotton, soft yet absorbent, regularly $109.99, but now $39.99. Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-876-0227 to get the discounts. You got to use promo code Dinesh. There's an interesting character in the news. His name is Chesa Boudin. And he has an interesting, somewhat indirect relationship to me and Debbie because he is the adopted son of one Bill Ayers. And I'll let Debbie kind of pick up the narrative from there. Mm-hmm. But talk a little bit about Chesa Boudin.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't know anything about him. Mostly I was doing a little bit of research on militants that go to Venezuela and tout socialism and want to bring it back to America. And one of these such people, militants, as they refer to him, he's referred to as revolutionary militant in America by Venezuelans. He went to Venezuela multiple times. Once in 2006, he wanted to see what the schools were like and, of course, wanted to investigate the social justice aspect of education and all those things. And so he was he made a series of videos, 12 videos on YouTube, and they were with the counselor for education in Venezuela. And of course, he doesn't know any English.
I'm talking about Bill Ayers.
Yeah. I'm talking about the person that is in charge of the education program in Venezuela doesn't know English.
Oh, right.
So Bill Ayers, who doesn't know Spanish, of course, needed an interpreter. And this interpreter happens to be Chesa Boudin.
Okay, let's do a little bit of background before we come back to Venezuela. So Chesa Boudin is the son of Gilbert and Kathy Boudin. Gilbert and Kathy Boudin were revolutionaries in America in the 60s, Marxists. They took part in a Weather Underground robbery of the Brinks armored trucks. This goes back to 1981. Two cops and a security guard were killed. Boudin actually served a little over 20 years in prison until Governor Cuomo, as one of his parting shots, paroled him.
Right.
And
right.
So essentially, Chesa Boudin's real dad, he was raised by Bill Ayers and by Bernadine Dorn,
right.
His adoptive parents, but his real dad is now out. And so pick up the story from there.
Right.
We're now putting Chesa Boudin in Venezuela.
So I just want to show you a little clip of that exchange with Chesa speaking Spanish.
Bueno, es interesante. Yo empecé mi carrera como profesor en el año 1965 como parte de una escuela de libertad muy pequeña asociada con el movimiento a favor de los derechos civiles.
Wow. As you can see in the background, there's a large, very large photo of none other than Che Guevara. So these three men are sitting there touting Marxist ideology. And, you know, he was interpreting for Bill Ayers and giving kind of this, you know, counselor of education, the scoop on who Bill Ayers was, where he went to school, what he did. And he referred to him as a revolutionary militant in America. Bill Ayers then went on to say he wanted to bring that education system back to America because he felt it was just.
It's kind of amusing as you sent me those videos.
I did send
this
you
is
the
before
videos.
We actually knew each
this
other.
This is how we met. So Chesa and Mr. Ayers are partly responsible for this, but for our meeting. But more than that, I want to just kind of say that when this Chesa person was running for mayor of San Francisco, I don't think anyone knew that he was a Marxist, communist revolutionary who went to Cuba for many years. Really, that's where he learned Spanish and ultimately ended up in Venezuela.
Okay, so let me correct you slightly.
Yes.
Remember Chesa Boudin, not mayor, he's a DA.
I'm sorry,
yeah,
DA,
okay.
Not mayor.
He's been the DA. Can
yes.
you believe this? Here you have a guy who is a Viva la Revolucion. He loves the Cuban Revolution. He loves the Venezuelan Revolution. This isn't like socialism and decline of classic. These guys are communists and they are Marxists.
Yes.
And they see themselves as active revolutionaries.
Active. But, and a really big one, is that when he ran for DA of San Francisco, on his bio, he never once mentioned any of this. None of it. You know, he says that he personally understands the impact of incarceration because both his parents were incarcerated when he was a child, yada, yada, but never, you know, of course, Rhodes Scholar, graduated from Yale Law School, worked as a clerk in the Court of Appeals, blah, blah, blah. Never did he say, I went to Cuba, Fidel Castro was my mentor, absolutely loved everything Che Guevara did. Hugo Chavez was amazing. None of this.
So he knows that even in liberal San Francisco, right?
Right.
This is not going to play well. In other words, nobody wants the DA who's some kind of a communist revolutionary.
Right.
And now let's talk a bit about his tenure as DA, because the news is that there is a recall petition to yank this guy out of office. It's gotten 85,000 signatures, which is more than enough to put it on the ballot. It's going to go on the ballot next June. And here is a guy who has eliminated cash bail. He said that if you're arrested, your gang affiliation is not going to matter in the way that they go after you. He's been using the pandemic as an excuse to release people out of prison. In fact, he's cut the city's jail population from an average of 1,200 people per day to 700 people. So here's a guy who's essentially emptying out the jails because he sees this as a kind of way to achieve, to move the society, move San Francisco in particular, towards this Marxist idea of social justice.
Yes,
now,
yes.
I think that even for the people who live in San Francisco, we're very left-wing, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you basically have these gay guys coming out of their nice apartments, and what do they see is a big deposit of dung in their lobby, and they go, you know,
well,
they go,
you know,
this is unacceptable. I don't like this.
Yeah, so, but, you know, but people shouldn't be shocked that a communist Marxist doesn't think that criminals are all that bad. And so you can't say that you're going to be for the victims and for the criminals at the same time, because it just, you know, if you are for criminals, you cannot be for victims. It's just, you can't do both. And he is definitely for the criminal. And this is why he's being recalled, because the crime statistics in San Francisco have skyrocketed. And, you know, you can't blame, I'm sorry, Chessa, you can't blame the Republicans for this. You just can't. And you are, because you go to your website and that's the first thing that
the
is
Republicans
on there.
Republicans are plotting against
Republicans, them. The Republicans are taking, you know, aims at him, and he has kept his promises. Yeah, his promises of being good to the criminals. Guess what happens when you're good to the criminals? Yeah, crime goes up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So interestingly, he's not being recalled because they've discovered his communist roots.
No, of course not.
He's not being recalled because of Cuba, Venezuela.
No.
He's being recalled because even in liberal San Francisco, people want to be able to walk to work and go to a restaurant without being harassed, molested, robbed, raped. And this guy is the accessory of those crimes in the sense that he knows about them. And yet, not only does he not do something about them, but he's trying to put more criminals back on the street.
Yeah. And you know what? We don't like crime. Sorry, Chessa.
Subscribe to the Dinesh D'Souza podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify. Or watch on Rumble, YouTube, and SalemNow.com. Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.